So what do you do when you're faced with temptation? Or when someone at work speaks bad things about you, or kids are nasty to you in the playground, or they pick on you, or they say mean things, or you've got just really destructive thoughts running around in your head, and when all you can think about is sad or bad things? We'll come back to that in a second. For those that don't know me, I'm Shaz. I'm on the leadership team for Saturday night service, so that's generally where I hang out. But today it's my privilege to bring you the message. Ethan's one step ahead of me. Okay, so back to the questions I just asked. So let's face it, at some point, most of us are going to be faced with some, if not all, of those things I just said. Doesn't matter what age we are, it doesn't matter where we go to school, it doesn't matter where we live, doesn't matter what sort of family we come from, doesn't matter what our job is, whether we're retired, and even if we're part of God's kingdom. That's because God's enemy, the devil, or Satan as we know him, has a kingdom too. And he's got his own army dedicated to tricking us into believing that God's not real, or that God doesn't love us, or we're not deserving of God's love. He wants to destroy us. Satan wants us to mess up. He wants us to do things that God doesn't want us to do. He might get us interested in inappropriate things, or he might make bad things seem like they're fun or interesting, or use other people to pressure us. But Satan's done this since forever. He did it to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, so we're not exempt. The Bible talks about it, and it warns us of us. In 1 Peter 5, 8-9, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings." There is good news, though. Just as we've heard from the Bible reading that Monty read to us, God gives us armour to protect ourselves from these attacks. The book of Ephesians, where the reading came from, was written by the Apostle Paul when he was under house arrest in Rome. And he was writing to the Christians, trying to encourage them to be on the offensive against these attacks. Paul uses military language to describe or explain how we can respond to these attacks. And he has three key points. Be strong in the Lord, put on the full armour of God, and pray at all times. And we're going to unpack this a little bit this morning. Why do we need to be strong in the Lord? Because our lives is a spiritual battle. Spiritual warfare is a reality. When you accept Jesus into your life, life doesn't get easier. Sure, it gets better because Jesus invites you into a life of fullness. He tells us that in John 10:10. But easier? No. Paul says in Ephesians 12 that we still live in a world of darkness and that's filled with demonic sources. We live on an earth that is a battlefield where satanic powers are at work. And although we've been rescued from this and from our poor choices and from the present evil age, we still live in this age. What you and I need to realise is that our battle is spiritual, because we fight against a well-organised army of satanic forces. Ephesians 6:12 says, and this is actually from the Voice translation, I particularly like this because it's really descriptive. "We're not waging war against the enemies of flesh and blood alone. No, this fight is against tyrants, against authorities, against supernatural powers and demon princes that slither in the darkness of this world, and against wicked spiritual armies that lurk about in heavenly places." Doesn't sound very nice, does it? So our battle's not face-to-face with other people. Our battle is in confrontation with demonic rulers, with Satan's military commanders and evil spirits. Because the battle is spiritual, we need to be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Ephesians 1:20-21 says, He used in the Anointed One to raise him from the dead and to position him at his right hand in heaven. There is nothing over him. He's above all rule, authority, power, and dominion. Over every name invoked, over every title bestowed in this age and the next. So Satan's powers seem quite impressive, they're strong and intimidating, but Jesus is given all authority over Satan, over everything in this world, now and in the future. Amen? And it gets better. Ephesians 2:6. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Did we hear that? And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Why can we stand against Satan? Why should we be strong in the Lord? Because Jesus has absolute authority over Satan and Satan's kingdom. And we are seated in Christ, far above Satan and anything he can bring against us. That's why we stand against Satan and his evil plans. That's really good news, isn't it? Yeah, someone thinks it is. That's good. Okay, so how do we do that practically? Paul uses the analogy of a Roman soldier to explain how we can practically take our stand against the enemy's attacks. So to put on the armor for us is about being intentional. We have to be purposeful about it. And the whole armor means every single piece of armor, all six pieces, not just the pieces we're familiar with or the bits that we know or the bits that we think we need. It's about putting on our spiritual armor so we have the ability to stand face to face with the strategies and whatever else Satan decides to throw at us. So the belt of truth. So the belt the soldier would use would tie his tunic in place so it didn't flap around and he was free to move. And he also used the belt to keep all his fighting weapons so he had his hands free to grab whichever one he needed at the time. So for us, putting on the belt of truth means that we surround ourselves with the truth and then we're free to live the freedom of the gospel. In John 8:31 to 32, Jesus said to his disciples, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Live out the gospels. Be true and real to yourself and to others around you. Don't pretend, don't be religious, but fully live in the freedom of Jesus. The truth is that Jesus is our foundation and is way stronger than Satan, and Satan hates the truth. So the breastplate, which is what Lexi was wearing. So when the Roman soldiers wore their breastplates in battle, they would cover their all their vital organs, so cover their chest and their stomach. So protected their heart, their lungs, their liver, all that sort of thing. Because if a soldier got injured in any one of those organs, he could probably be in a fair bit of trouble. In Revelation 12:9, Satan is described as the great dragon, the ancient serpent called the devil, or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. Now, one of the major strategies that Satan has in leading the world astray is he goes for your heart, because the heart is the center of your being. It's where our emotions are, it's where our will is, it's where our feelings are. Corrupt a heart and you corrupt a life. Paul makes a passionate plea for us not to give the devil a foothold through things such as greed, envy, anger, that sort of thing. And I've just put that up there in Ephesians 4, 26-27. The breastplate of righteousness is the breastplate of faith and love. And I challenge any of you to say breastplate a number of times without getting tongue-tied. Okay, so we not only live in the righteousness of God, but we also represent what God says is right and be just to others. In other words, our defense against negative emotions and negative feelings and negative thoughts is to fully accept and stand in the fact that we're made right by God, we're approved by God, so that we can live in a right relationship with others and do good by them and for them. After all, Jesus said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind." And he also said, "Love your neighbor as yourself." If we do what is right in the sight of God, Satan loses out because he always wants us to do what is wrong. Okay, the shoes of the gospel. That's what Willow had on. Can't fail wearing those. Okay, so to survive in battle, a soldier had to be sure-footed and have really strong, be strong on his feet. So they used to wear really strong sandals, and that's all they had in those days, not like what we've got now. So feet fitted with the shoes of peace means that no matter where we go or how we go, we can feel at peace because of the message of the gospel. And it's also about our readiness to tell the good news of the gospel and how others can have peace because of Jesus. Satan's out to ruin the church. He's constantly trying to stop our ability to give the testimony of Jesus. And the persecution of Christians in other places is a really sad example of this. But there is really great news to tell. The gospel of peace, it's a message of wholeness. It's a message of our kingdom. And we should always be ready to bring that news of peace into the world, especially in dark places. Oh, I got that wrong before, sorry. Jackson was wearing the breastplate of righteousness. Lexi had the shield of faith. So the shield was one of the most crucial defensive parts of a soldier's armour. It stopped arrows, sword blades, and spears from actually attacking them. We use a shield of faith to deflect anything that comes at us from the enemy, and also helps us block anything that makes us try and doubt God or behave in a way that wouldn't please God. Faith is the most important part of your armour. Jesus told his disciples it is by faith they can move mountains after he had depossessed a demon-possessed boy. And in Joshua 1:9, we're told to be strong and courageous, for the Lord our God is with us wherever we are. Faith is our trust in the unlimited power and sovereign authority of Jesus. And it means to be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power and act on that. Resist the enemy through the act of faith of Jesus. The helmet of salvation, which is what Eli had on, obviously protects the head. No soldier goes into battle without their helmet. For us in the spiritual area or our spiritual armor, this is protecting our mind. Our mind, along with our heart, is a major battlefield. So the enemy tries to set up strongholds in our thinking. He is the accuser and the deceiver. Low self-esteem and doubting thoughts about yourself. These are all things that the enemy tries to put in and tries to take a stronghold of. Temptation is Satan's deceiving whisper to lead us away from a life of fullness with Jesus. How do we break down these strongholds or defend ourselves against Satan's deceiving whisper? Paul says in 2 Corinthians 10, 5 to 6, "We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your disobedience is complete." In other words, strongholds are demolished by placing the truth of God over our lives, and sin is conquered by accepting Jesus as Lord over our lives. Jesus is the one that saved us from the punishment of our poor choices. If we accept Jesus into our life, we're saved. We know salvation and it's our best protection against Satan. So the sword of the Spirit, which is, got a demo down here. Cheers. Okay, so the sword of the Spirit, which Cade demonstrated to us before. The Roman soldiers, obviously this was their main weapon of choice. Generally lightweight, but in close combat could be deadly. That's what I read anyway, no personal experience with it. Okay, the sword is also the only offensive weapon that's in a soldier's armour. Everything else is defensive. Our sword against Satan is the word of the Spirit, the Bible. The Bible is God's instruction book on truths and how to live. Hebrews 4:12 refers to the word of God as sharper than a double-edged sword. For the word of God is living and active. There's a lot of power in the word of God. And because it's a living and active word of God, we need to read our Bible, not as a book filled with dead words or filled with doctrine, but active and made alive by God's Spirit and filled with God's presence. Paul ended his instruction by saying, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people." So prayer is an extremely important part of our battle against the spiritual warfare. On all occasions and always pray. It's our connection with Jesus, and it's how we join God in the spiritual warfare. Our prayers are to be led by the Spirit. So Spirit-led, meaning that we don't use a standard prayer, or we don't just use something that's religious or repetitive. We let the Spirit guide us on how we pray. So I encourage you all, when you're praying, to welcome the Holy Spirit as you pray and to allow the Spirit to lead you in prayer and what to say. You're not alone in the battle. We're in the battle together. And that's what it also means to be a church. Paul had the church in mind. He never thinks of Christians living in isolation. And on the battlefield, there will be victims. You won't always stand your ground. You'll fall often. I'll fall often. But by the grace and forgiveness of God, we will rise again. And the church is a community of grace and forgiveness. We aren't to fight battles on our own. And we, as a church community, should not let others fight their battles on their own either. Instead, we watch each other's backs. Be alert, says Paul, and keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Did anyone notice that the only part of a Roman soldier that's not protected is their back by armour? And that's because it was the job of the soldier behind them or beside them to be alert and watch their back for them. And that's what we're to do. We're to look out for one another, support and help each other, have each other's backs. And a simple way to have each other's back is to pray for each other. Pray at all times. I need you to pray for me. You need me to be praying for you. We also have an amazing team of prayer warriors at our church. And I really encourage people that if you need prayer support, then put your prayer requests in, because these people love to pray and they will have your backs. So any smart soldier in battle takes his role very seriously. He needs to train both his body and mind for the perils of war and the deceit of the enemy. He needs to understand his weaknesses. He needs to understand where his strength comes from. He needs to understand the strategies of his enemy and the strengths of his enemy if he's to come out victorious. And if he fails to follow protocol or the commands from his commander, then that can put his life in danger, or maybe even his platoon, or even cost them their lives. The same is true for Christians in God's army. We have to put on the full armour of God to stand against the schemes and the evil plots of the enemy and fight for the truth of God. In the picture of a Roman soldier, Paul gives us six spiritual weapons, five defensive and one offensive. And we use these to take our stand against the enemy. Putting on the full armour of God is all about positioning yourself in your identity in Christ, in your readiness to witness Jesus, to exercise faith and knowing how to handle the active and living word of God. It's about being battle ready. For our response today, we're going to do something a little bit different. And it's going to be an opportunity for you to receive prayer to ready yourself for a spiritual battle. I've asked Seath to come and pray a specific prayer that you can receive right where you're seated. If you feel comfortable, you might like to stand where you are and reach out your hands to receive the prayer. Or from your seat, hold your hands out and receive the prayer as confirmation. Seath.
Church, the prayer that we're going to pray is a declaration of war against Satan, but it's also a proclamation, as Shaz has said this morning, that we go into this battle with all the defensive armour that we need and also with all the offensive weapons that we need. So I would invite you please to stand as we pray this prayer together, as we head into this new week and this new year and new battles that lie ahead of us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as your warriors prepare for battle, today we claim victory over Satan by putting on the whole armour of God. We put on the belt of truth. May we stand firm in the truth of your word so we will not be victims of Satan's lies. We put on the breastplate of righteousness. May it guard our hearts from evil so that we remain pure and holy, protected under the blood of Jesus Christ. We put on the shoes of peace. May we stand firm in the good news of the gospel so your peace will shine through us and be a light to all we encounter. We take the shield of faith. May we be ready for Satan's fiery darts of doubt, denial, and deceit so we will not be vulnerable to spiritual defeat. We put on the helmet of salvation. May it keep our minds focused on you so Satan will not have a stronghold on our thoughts. And we take the sword of your spirit. May the two-edged sword of your word be ready in our hands so we can expose the tempting words of Satan. By faith, your warriors today put on the whole armour of God. We are prepared to live this day and every day in spiritual victory. Amen.